Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dion Miller from ABC 7 is in today for Molly. And we are pleased to welcome in Bruce Levine, our baseball expert for The Score on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, it's an interesting day for sure. The Cubs blowing one in San Francisco. White Sox dominating a bad Miami team yesterday. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the Cubs, Bruce, because Pedro Strop's struggles have continued now for the past several weeks. And obviously in the short term, they probably hope not to have to go to him tonight, even though Yu Darvish against Madison Bumgarner is going to be a great matchup. But they'll probably give him the night off after last night. How do they solve this short term? What do you think? What do you see them doing long term?
Well, I don't think this was a Pedro Strop problem or Joe Maddon problem. I think it's a personnel problem. One left-handed pitcher in the bullpen is not enough. Joe Maddon had to use Ryan earlier in the eighth inning for matchups. And when he needed matchups and a setup man from the left side in the ninth inning, he didn't have it. So Strop, certainly hasn't pitched to the level that he's accustomed to in the past. But the matchup called for a left-handed setup man, and that is not there right now. The Cubs are dealing with one left-handed pitcher in the bullpen. That's not enough. And Ryan has come on and done a really good job. But one left-hander against a team, late in the innings, that's going to be your results.
So how do you see them acquiring that reliever that they clearly need and packaging something that would bring a guy in that would fit that role?
Well, Dion, obviously they're going to have to, use some of their minor league system. Is Ian Happ going to be part of that? Will Carl Edwards, who's now been sent back to the minor leagues, be part of that? Mm-hmm. Will they have to trade somebody off of the major league roster like Caratini? I think it's not going to be something where they trade a starting player right now off of their major league roster. I don't think they're in that mode, but they're going to have to be creative here, and the Giants have two guys there, although the Giants have been one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in baseball, going over 500 for the first time this year, now maybe focusing themselves on a wild card. But, according to people I talked to, the Giants are still going to trade, and they have Watson, they have Smith in their bullpen. Those are left-handers of significance, although Watson has not had a great year against lefties so far this year. He's a veteran that they could use. So they're going to have to do some repairs, and I know they're out there working hard trying to find players.
Bruce, maybe the answer is right in front of us if you're the Cubs, and maybe it's on the south side. As you report on 670thescore.com, there were six teams who were scouting bullpen help, six teams in need of bullpen help who were at the Sox game last night. Colome was not needed in that big White Sox victory, but if you look at his value in the trade market, certainly – there's going to be some teams that look at him as a possible solution to their problem. And yet the Cubs may not want to give up what the White Sox would ask. The White Sox might not want to part with a guy that they have contract control through next year. What's the latest on that? And then just overall, how fun of a night was it at Guaranteed Rate Field?
Yeah, it was a fun night. And the most fun for the media was 2 hours and 29 minutes. That's how the media gear, whether it's a good game or not these days. But in reality, it was a great game, and Moncada has certainly stepped up his game and proving to be every bit the worth of what they gave up for him when he was a part of that trade with Kopech and Basabe for Chris Sale. But in reality, You know, they are still struggling in some ways to figure out whether they need to trade Alex Colomé or not, because, you know, the White Sox young pitching is going to start coming along. You're starting to see Lopez pitch a little bit better now. Giolito's been great all year. You have Cease working on becoming a major league pitcher. So with those things in mind, you have Colomé under contract for next year. You don't want to necessarily just trade him for a bag of balls. It's got to be a significant trade that brings you something really good back, or else you hold on to him for next year and being a part of that bullpen that's evolving with other guys like Fry and Bummer and Marshall that have been coming along. So from that perspective, they will trade Colomé, but it's got to be a trade where they're getting something significant back. The other part of it, you know, is the Abreu part, and they will listen for Abreu, but unless they're blown away with something that's really significant from Boston or Tampa or one of those contenders that really needs an offensive thrust going down the last 2 months here, he'll probably remain with the team. Now, there is that scenario that we've talked about, David, where you trade him, you've already made a deal with him, you know, verbally, which is, you know, probably against the rules, of course, that you're going to sign him to a contract as a free agent. But it's not unprecedented. It could happen. And with the relationship that they have, he could help them on two fronts.
Bruce, I'm anxious to hear your take on the netting and what you, if it changed how you viewed things at the ballpark.
Well, I looked around at it, and I think it's real. First of all, my opinion is it's really important, really, really important, because in this modern day where we talk about exit velocity, players themselves can't even be protected sometimes. So that's the number one thing. Exit velocity creates these nets. And then you go ahead with social media, and you know that people aren't always watching the game. And you have to protect you and your kids when you're in the stands. It's 100% needed. And I think all 29 other teams are going to follow suit before next year. That said, it does change the experience. Scott Reifert, the vice president of communications for the team, talked before the game about the netting and the specifics of it and the reason for it and maybe taking away from the ballpark experience, as you brought up, and the idea that it's done in mid-season, so people who bought season tickets in those areas should have some flexibility. Scott said that they would deal with those issues when they come up if people do not like how it's impacting their game. I think it's pretty well done. They're going to have to revisit, you know, how it impacts the view, because it's so important to take care of your fans in this day and age. But I don't see any way around it. I'm interested in what you guys think about it.
Well, I think that it was a long time coming, and more teams need to follow suit, and I think they need to do that. You can't protect fans soon enough. Another incident in Cleveland over the weekend just reinforced that idea. Bruce, before we let you go, I do want to get your thoughts on this latest trade rumor. It is that kind of time of year. You're going to see a lot of these types of reports, but John Morosi from MLB Network, a really plugged-in reporter, says the Rockies would listen to offers for Charlie Blackmon, who would answer a lot of Cub questions right away, immediately. Now, Charlie Blackmon is a proven veteran bat that would be in the thick of a pennant race, a really welcome sight. How realistic might that be? What would it take to get a guy like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if the Cubs have enough in their minor league system. You know, would Hap and another young pitcher or player from the minor leagues be enough to get Charlie Blackmon on a rental here? Certainly, he would be impactful. Really important player, but I just don't know if there's a matchup there. So there's probably a few other teams that would look really good having Charlie Blackmon leading off for him with power and a really good defender in center field. But I'm not sure that they have enough. It certainly would change the dynamic for the Cubs. That would be for sure.
Might be a big ask. That might be too much to.
It might be. I mean, you're going to have to trade somebody off of the major league roster. You know, are you going to have to give up Schwarber in that deal?
How many home runs would Kyle Schwarber hit in Colorado?
Oh my gosh!
You mean the first day? I mean, it would be fun to watch. It would be dangerous. You'd have to have a second hat to wear, not just.
No,
thanks, Bruce. Good stuff. Enjoy tonight at the rate and watching Darvish and Bumgarner.
All right, thanks to both
Bruce
of you.
Bruce Levine, our Scores baseball expert.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.